record will show that all are in attendance with the exception of Supervisor Michael. I have not heard. Maybe he has a game tonight. He's called.
He's in Florida.
Ah, he is. Well,
yes.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? He may have then told me that. We can wait until Supervisor Rudy's talking.
Move to adjourn.
Oh, are you all set? All right. Again, all here with the exception of Supervisor Michael. We have our Youth and Governance Wendy here. Our other Youth and Governance member will not be in attendance today. Comments. Trust everyone here is not here for citizen comments. Supervisor Underhill, anything? All right. Supervisor or citizen comments are closed. Chair, Supervisor, and Youth and Governance comments. I have none.
I have one.
Supervisor Bruning.
I got an update from Extension for the Country Thunder Economic Impact Analysis Proposal. I can make copies of this for everyone, but basically it's going to come down to, it's going to be an estimated total cost of about $2,500 to do this. And it gives the steps that they will go through to collect all the data and how they will report back on it.
$2,500 cost to the county to have the report done?
Yes.
I thought Extension was doing that.
They are, but it's going to take some training, and they're going to have to recruit some volunteers because they are going to have to collect all this information at Country Thunder next year, too.
Maybe Country Thunder should pay for that.
Absolutely.
I think it's beneficial to them.
Yeah.
It would be very, very beneficial.
I can work on this. I just got this, so I can get a copy for everyone.
I'd sort of like you to reach out to Country Thunder. And okay, anything else?
Okay. I got one.
Supervisor Eckert.
I attended a municipal judges seminar a little over a week ago, and they were discussing the new laws, and concealed carry came up, and they were discussing the municipalities considering putting no weapons allowed in the municipal buildings, and the issue has arisen that kind of stopped a lot of them. It seems that there's a belief that by doing that, you give up your immunity from civil liability if somebody enters a building that's posted that way. And as a result, that's not a good idea to do that from a civil liability standpoint for municipalities.
I've heard that as well.
So it's...
That's an opinion, though.
That seems to be a fairly widely held opinion. It's something that needs to be looked into before
right.
you go and do something like that. Because the bottom, it's like the lifeguard thing. If you've got a public beach and you don't have a lifeguard, you don't have any responsibility. If you do have a lifeguard there, you got all kinds of responsibility. So I just throw that out because it did come up. And I asked the question, what are you guys talking about? He said, yeah, well, it's,
Well, it's very few people have not. The majority of municipalities, there's just a couple that have said that they're going to allow.
Well, it's not a matter of saying you're going to allow. It's a matter of whether you're going to post a notice on the outside of the building saying you
right.
don't allow.
And the majority are going to post.
Not the way they were talking.
Who was this?
It's a municipal judges seminar. There was about 120 municipal judges there, and this is something that became a topic of conversation along with other new laws. So it's just something that you have to consider and look into before you decide to do whatever you do.
Right.
On that same subject, that's true for not just municipal, but even private.
For everybody.
Private. Business, and our attorney, our private business, and he's in favor of concealed carry, but his opinion was, for our business, his opinion was that we would probably be wiser not to post and not allow our employees or the public to have concealed carry, because the problem is if you allow the public, you also then allow your employees, and would you feel good about one employee blowing off, you know, shooting another employee, but you got this immunity? That's what I think it comes down to, you know? I mean, that doesn't really make you feel any better than...
Well, if a person's on a mission, that sign's not going to stop them.
No.
And never
true.
Hit
on that. I don't want to get into so much debate on this topic.
Yeah, I just throw that out because it was something that came up last week.
I understand. I just wanted to say that's true, not just for municipal, but for private businesses as well.
Any other supervisor comments? Is Randy anything? If not, approval or communications, I have none. Frank, any communications?
Nope.
Approval of the September 8th and September 13th, 2011 minutes. Entertain a motion for both.
So moved.
Motion made by Vice Chairman Eckert and seconded by Supervisor Brunig. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. 636. I am going to ask the committee's indulgence to move item 7D by Supervisor Hallman's count. That is number 14 on the agenda. We're going to move that up so that we can have a presentation by Supervisor Hallman. And we have the county clerk here as well as Carl, so if we can, if there are any problems with that, I'll move that up. Supervisor Hallman.
Good evening. Thank you. Sorry about the request meeting. Church council meeting. I have to get to the meeting after leaving here. With me this evening is Carl Samuelson from our IT department, our director of IT, Marty Laycock, and of course our beloved county clerk, Mary Krebs. We fulfilled the chairman's request as adequately as we could, and as soon as Mr. Samuelson here goes through the details, I think you will see that. So we were given three objectives, really four. One was to find a way to go paperless. We were able to do that. Another was to replace the voting system and to put in some sort of infrastructure with regard to media presentations inside of chambers. And the other was to try to upgrade our video system. So with that, I will give us over to Mr. Samuelson, who can fill you in on all of the details.
All right. One of the things that we wanted to determine was the need, if you will, for a voting system upgrade in the county boardroom. And some of the things that we discovered in looking at this, and I personally experienced as supporting the system during the reconfigurations every 2 years, is that it has become increasingly difficult to configure it and repair it. Just the seat changes that occurred last April necessitated three visits on site in order to deal with the wiring situation that is inherent to the system. There's a significant risk, in my opinion, of having a serious malfunction of it or an inability to configure it when there is a reduction in supervisors and a changeover in that room. One of the benefits we get by putting in a new system is some integration capability. The current system doesn't have the ability to do anything other than print out from the system that's there a report of what's happening, what's transpired. New systems allow integration with the website for agenda management, meeting minute management, and even the streaming of video of the proceedings that are going on in the courtroom. So what we put forward is a capital budget request for $125,000 to replace the voting system in the chambers upstairs.
Just to be clear, voting includes a sound system.
Includes the sound system, presentation capabilities, monitors, controlling computer, everything that's involved to make that room function for voting and presentation. So once we got to a point where we said there's definitely a need to look at something, who do we look at? So we did a search for vendors that provide this kind of software and hardware. Some do integrated solutions, some do point solutions. We looked at a total of seven, whittled it down to a handful that made sense given the scope of what they provide and the scale necessary for our environment, and had two in particular do on-site demos of their systems. So we looked at Roll Call Pro. It's a reasonably inexpensive solution in use by a number of Wisconsin counties today, including those bordering us, Racine and Walworth. We looked at International Roll Call, a little bit more expensive, meant for a higher kind of implementation. It's in use by both the Wisconsin Assembly and the Wisconsin Senate. It is also the system that is in the U.S. Congress for the U.S. House of Representatives. There are other vendors, such as SKC Communications and ABI Systems, that do completely integrated solutions based on furniture requirements in the rooms and all kinds of special arrangements. Those tend to be wildly expensive by comparison. So our examination of vendors ran the gamut from inexpensive to outrageously expensive. So I wanted to capture something that gave us an idea of what a system is composed of and what those individual components would cost. So on the screen in front of you are four solutions. Roll Call offering two of them, a basic system and a newer system that includes the integrated wireless gooseneck audio components, International Roll Call's pricing, and then an ABI Systems custom implementation. So this gave us the pieces of it. With the voting system, there's a base system, which includes the software and some sort of voting keypad. We're looking to do a wireless solution so that we no longer have the wiring issues that we've got at the seats in the room. Then it would, you know, alleviate us anytime there's a seating change. It would require no work on our part to redeploy those components in the room to their new locations. They're essentially checked out at the time that a meeting begins and used by the person at whatever desk they're at. Wireless microphones are included in some of the solutions. In the base solution for Roll Call Pro, it is an add-on. There is a computer in every one of the situations that the software runs on and is used to control the displays that are up on the wall. The thought being that the large board that exists today with the lights on it would be replaced by a pair of 65-inch monitors, one of which could display the results of voting, roll call, and those kinds of things, and the other which could display agendas, presentations, video, whatever source material needed to be put up in the room for people to see. In addition to that, for larger galleries to see what's going on, we put in a screen of some sort, a projection system that would then be a third source. So if you had something that a guest or the group wanted to display so the entire body could see, not just the supervisors closest to the monitors, you'd be able to display something in the room much larger. And then an audio system that would allow all of the gooseneck microphones to interact in such a way as to be heard throughout the chamber, noise canceling, and in such a way that everything would be heard properly. So what we run into with pricing is a $95,000 minimum to get into the inexpensive roll call system. Their integrated solution at the 101 number, including some benefits by having the wireless microphones already part of their system. $153 to get into an international roll call package, and upwards of $188 for ABI to do something. What we entertained within our group was opting for the roll call audio at the $101 amount. So the $125,000 request that we put in IT includes that $101 amount, an amount for internal labor costs since we capitalize IT labor in implementing these kinds of things, and enough to cover any potential shift in pricing of equipment that would occur over the period of time since we put in the request. Any questions on how we've arrived at the group we looked at and the pricing thereof?
You didn't mention anything on the video system, or the camera system.
That's next.
Perfect.
I have a question. I'm the only one using this screen here. That's why I wonder why we have two in this room. I see everybody else looking this way.
Technically, Doug should be using it as well, but I see he's not following protocol.
The Roll Call Pro and Roll Call Audio, that's the same company?
Same company.
The base system is 43 and the other is 18. But as you go down the line, everything else is included, equal.
Yes.
And then we come...
There's a $6,000 upcharge there.
It's only $6,000 more.
Right.
Why is that?
Integration. What they've done is taken the gooseneck audio, the microphones, and made it part of their system. So from the chairman's screen, he would be able to control the on and off of the microphone from within the software package itself, as opposed to a standalone system that would be added on if you went with the roll call.
So if we do the roll call audio, they're throwing in a whole lot.
You get a whole bunch of integration for that $6,000.
Right, because they're $20-some thousand higher on the base system and only $6,000 more.
Correct.
For other total.
Right.
Okay.
But one has the microphones included, the other one doesn't.
Supervisor.
Why is the audio system on everyone underlined
Oh, that's just the end of the things being summed up, so below the line's the total.
There might be a significance.
The end of the itemization is the significance.
Any other questions?
I was going to ask how come totals aren't double underlined, but
I didn't graduate with accounting major. Forgive my single one.
Thankfully, he didn't, right? Mr. Samuelson, go ahead.
All right. So the next discussion then is what to do with the camera situation that we have upstairs. As I understand it, those cameras are a little long in the tooth. They were a gift from Time Warner some time ago, and have reached a point where, in the event they need to be repaired, it's likely not possible. There are also a number of things that you could do with a more modern set of cameras that we just don't have the ability to do with those. So Supervisor Hallman has some experience in that regard and went out and surveyed a number of places from which we could procure cameras that did the kinds of things we were looking to do. So the sweet spot seems to be around the $28,000 mark. You could spend more, you could spend less, but for what we were looking to get out of it, that seemed to be a good way to go. One of the things that you get out of it is the ability to combine the streams into a split screen. So if you wanted multiple people to be seen at once, it will do that. Modern systems have the ability to remember positions of the pan and tilt head, so you could move right to some supervisor who's speaking, press a button, it goes there. It also gives us the ability to mix the signal for outbound broadcast, which is the key to the next part, in that by making a switch in cameras, we can entertain the ability to stream the county board meetings live online.
You said mix. I thought we'd put like some rap background or something to it.
Both cameras mixing them together, and the operator, yes. And if it's Reggie doing it, we would obviously train enough so that the operation of the software was simple to do. The goal being that if the people would like to be able to broadcast live, this platform would give us that capability. Otherwise, we would continue to record it and make it available after the meeting for those who wish to view it.
It does present a small problem for supervisors in that now with the pan, tilt, zoom function, Reggie will actually have a keypad where she can click a button and it's already preset to where you're sitting. So if you're talking and you lean this way, then she's going to have to try to find a way to use the controls to move the camera. So you're going to have to stay in the frame as you're talking about what you're talking about. You can't lean.
And you think somehow that's going to be a problem?
It's one of those things. If you could put a little X on the front underneath everybody's chair so they know.
To see anyone not keep their mug in the camera. I won't single out anyone, or I won't exclude my own self from the group. So, but point well taken.
One of the benefits we get following the county board meetings, the clerk's office goes through a fairly hefty process to convert that VHS tape to a DVD. One of my staff receives that DVD and then goes through the tedious process of converting it to something that we can place on the web. In the new environment, all of that work, which amounts to anywhere from 5 to 8 hours, depending on the length of the meeting, goes away. There is no more staff time than in dealing with this. This stuff is done real time and made available instantaneously.
So 8 hours, just, is that total or 8 hours of the IT department staff?
Total. The time to encode the DVD from the VHS tape and then the time to convert the DVD into the flash video that's subsequently put on the website. The longer the meeting, it's a linear function, so the longer the meeting, the longer it takes to get it into a format that can be viewed.
Was 8 hours through the county executive's budget address?
So they got started at 8 a.m. and we were able to have it up that afternoon, but that was a continuous process throughout the morning to do that conversion.
Weren't we paying like $10 to have that guy and convert that to digital? Last time, I thought we were.
He would make one copy, and that was before we had it put on. And sometimes he'd get it to us a week later, and he would give us one DVD.
Right.
And we bought the machine to convert it ourselves because we were going to be doing things ourselves. So we just put it in the morning, and we get it set up, and we run it. We made 3 copies: one for Pleasant Prairie, one for the city, and one for the county.
And I should point out as well that, you know, while these activities are going on, people are able to do other things. That's not derailing you from your other tasks, but it's something to be mindful of, keeping track of, you know, how far you are in the process, making sure it doesn't fail, and then having to start over on coding it again.
Does this eliminate the need for a cameraman?
No. This would still require somebody to operate the cameras in the system so that you could choose what camera feed you're working with and who is pointed at.
The difference is that she doesn't have to move around whether she can stay in one place.
So that kind of functionality is what we looked at doing, and that's where the IT request for the 28.5 came from. That's in our capital budget request.
So you have one request for 100 and a quarter and one for 28.5?
Correct.
Any way to integrate the two systems so that when the chairman keys a supervisor to speak, the camera is integrated, it's automatic? Or
not inexpensively. And that was a question we asked, and that pushes you up into a custom kind of solution, and the price tag goes up a lot more than buying the individual pieces and having a person operate it.
So what happens? I trust at this point in time, Mary, that we're fine utilizing your staff for every county board meeting, and we don't have an issue there. But
no, we don't have a problem with that.
What happens if push comes to shove down the road for whatever reason, we don't have the same cooperation from the clerk's office because Mary's moved on, she's retired, and someone else is in there? I guess it comes down to you need to put someone in the chair, so to speak.
Right. Right.
Well, we can integrate it into a hosting too in the future. That would be one of the requirements of the job also. So, I mean, now it's not.
Sure.
It's just something we've developed in my office hour there, but it could be something if and when we create the postings, and that could be in there as one of the requirements.
And do we have the ability to do that now? With that position, or does it have to wait until the position's open to be posted?
I have to check the personnel on that.
If you would, because if we can incorporate it, obviously we have a willing partner in Reggie, and she does a great job for us and continues to be willing to do it. I'd like to take care of that piece in conjunction with what we're doing right now so we're covered long term.
All right, I'll check into that.
Okay. Additional questions at this point?
I just want to add so that the committee knows, these are not HDTV cameras, because that would have risen the cost exponentially as well. So these are just pan, tilt, and zoom cameras.
Supervisor Noble?
That, as far as broadcasting live, what would it take to do that? I know that I've had people complain that we don't broadcast live.
This resolves that problem by using the website, actually, to go through the computer. So you won't necessarily see it on your television unless you have internet on your TV.
Yeah.
But that way they would be able to see it live at home if they've got
a computer. So it would be possible to see it live on the internet.
The format of the feed is such that we can incorporate that into our website so people can go to KenoshaCounty.org and view the feed. Much like you would go to CNN.com and watch a video of something that's happening live through a broadcast.
Supervisor Clark.
Have you guys, I'm sure you've looked at her, what does the city have? I mean, their system seems, I'm sure it's very expensive, but it seems really, I mean, you can bounce into their agenda and pull up a specific, you know, the specific debate online. I mean, it's...
I don't know the specifics behind what the city has.
So we have no idea what that system costed them, or...
Well, When we first started looking into this, I asked Mike Higgins if he could get me a cost on what it was, and theirs was, I think, about 4 or 5 years old now. And at that time, it was well close to $200,000 for the whole complete system where the cameras zoom in and they do all their stuff. But and I think they're connected with the local TV station somehow. That's why they have the live feed.
It's not so much the live feed, it's the... It'll take the debate right to the agenda, and you'll click right on it, and you can see.
You click a link within each agenda item, it'll take you to the,
yes,
to the proceeding.
We can do that with the system that we're getting. There'll be a timestamp when we get to the agenda item. It'll be marked in the video. We can do that. That's not out of reach for us. Which is one of the reasons, in fact, why we moved to this, because I know you emailed me about that particular question. Also, the ability to see folks' voting records, too. That's all part of it.
And the city wasn't totally happy with their system either. They said there were issues or problems with it.
They probably didn't pay the guy then.
Thank you, Supervisor Overman.
You can expect more of that.
Oh, yeah. Anyone else? Supervisor Overman.
Either Carl or Marty, you said that the cost of the system was $101,000, and then but you were asking for $125,000.
Correct.
That $24,000 extra, you said something about charging it back to the project for the personnel for their time?
There are two things we do as part of any project. One is to make sure that we insulate ourselves against any price increase. The other is the time it takes for IT staff is capitalized for the projects that they perform. So for all of the projects that we request, there's a fixed amount of time that IT spends implementing those solutions, and that time gets capitalized along with the materials.
That capitalization of their time was issue that came up in this year's budget, and garnered considerable discussion, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. That was part of that discussion. So.
Okay. Interesting.
I think that just to clarify, for any major capital project, we do track our hours, and then we build that back to the project and capitalize it against it. So as part of our budget, how we do things.
I find that interesting because I know that other departments don't do that when they do work for other departments. When one department does work for another department, they don't charge them for their time to do that work. Just saying.
Anyone else? Yeah, the Supervisor Underhill.
How much of this is going to be subbed out, or are you guys going to do this all in-house?
In the case of the roll call system and the implementation, the roll call staff would be performing the installation. We would implement the computer system that would be used to control all of it. They would implement the software, the monitors, the LCD projection unit, the screen, everything else. Our staff would undergo training on how it all works and become the first line of contact for anything that would happen in the room.
And that's part of the price? Or would that be part of the
implementation is included in the price.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no additional costs for putting the package in place.
Okay.
I've got just a couple questions. So I trust we'll get a warranty period for installation and equipment, and then beyond that point, our staff will take that over, your office will take that over, in terms of the maintenance of the system. What you can do in-house, you'll do in-house rather than call
correct
someone in to do any kind of repair that might be necessary.
Right. The vendor then becomes a level 3 support avenue, so yeah. Whatever we can troubleshoot and solve internally, we'll do, mostly in the interest of time.
Right. Is the intention now to direct purchase this with through roll call, or are there multiple vendors that can bid on it? Same system?
At this point, the solution being offered would be roll call specifically. So the awarding of this project would be moving forward with that.
I should have said sole source. I guess we're going to go with sole source to the supplier, correct? So.
Yes.
And then what's the implementation timing?
In thinking this through with the potential changeovers in April, I think the best we could shoot for would be a transition at that point in time. Standing up the system itself is a 30-day exercise from roll call's perspective. So scheduling the time where the room modifications could be made for the screens, getting people trained, and being able to make a cutover with the new county board in April, would be a conservative estimate. That's not aggressive at all. And of course, that timeline is subject to what the county board feels is appropriate.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Clark.
I just want to be clear. What time frame do you think you're going to be able to index the video online? That's what we're talking about. The agenda to the video component. Is that something that we should expect to see within a year?
Oh,
is that part
yes.
of this project?
Much less than that.
So that is an intended scope.
Yes.
the project?
Yes. Okay. Something my staff will do in conjunction with the build-out of the infrastructure is to develop the link between the agenda line items and those timestamps inside the video. So as this stuff migrates to the website, there's that natural link between the two. I would expect throughout Q1, my staff would be able to prepare that so that at launch, we're very close to, if not already at the point of being able to deliver that.
So that's part of your capitalized time.
Right. That's some of the labor involved in setting this thing up to do that.
And I don't know if there's more presentation on this, or is this the last screen?
I think I have one more slide.
Because the other question that I have is, we talked a little bit maybe about paperless as being one of the objectives to be able to have the information from the committee meeting or whatnot online, and then I think upstairs it's now wireless at this point, or being able to go on and retrieve that information, whether it be by that agenda or be able to search topically to find the resolution or whatnot. Is that what you're looking at doing?
Yes, let me advance to the next slide, which talks about the paperless office concept, and I'll let Supervisor Hallman speak to this.
We have the technology to go paperless currently. It doesn't cost us anything to do it. One of the things that surfaced in the survey of going paperless of county supervisors, there were a couple of questions that were asked. One of them was, do you utilize email forwarding with your Kenosha County address, which the bulk of folks who answered was almost overwhelmingly yes. So in order for us to go paperless, we would have to utilize the Kenosha County SharePoint site. In order to do that, you have to use your Kenosha County email password. So you continue to have things forwarded, but you still need that password in order to log in, which changes every, I think, 3 months or something like that, that you have to change your password. So the first thing is to get folks to do that. Second thing is to get them to have a link to the SharePoint site and not lose the link, because this isn't something that's just readily available that you can click here on the website, it takes you right there. And then third, there was a question that was asked, would you feel comfortable having those agenda items on SharePoint instead of receiving them in the mail? The folks that were already tech savvy said yes. The ones that were not said no. There was a follow-up question proposed to that. Would you feel more comfortable if an IT department staff person showed you and helped you how to use this? The response was unchanged. The folks that were tech savvy said, sure, I'm fine. The ones that were not said no. So it's really an issue of willpower. I know we had talked, Chairman Molero and I, as to making some sort of option where we went paperless, and those who wish to retain getting things in the mail, getting a hard copy, could opt out of being paperless and still get a hard copy. That's really the way to do it. What do we save in terms of costs, in terms of staff time? With the new system that's been implemented for recording meetings, which was really where the bulk of the cost came from, we save a few hundred dollars here and there in terms of paper, in terms of labor, in terms of ink, and those kinds of things. Which is still a considerable sum in the case of some committees.
And I think that paperless thing, having the ability to go back to the old information, the old agenda, was something we talked about. You want to go in and see the Brookside report that came up. You can go right to that meeting and get it, you know, see it or search it, find it.
But one of the other difficulties that also surfaced, and this was after the survey, and I had about four or five supervisors approach me to say this, was that if we were going to go paperless, they wanted to have some sort of expense account for ink and for paper. And there were a few others who thought that we should provide them with netbooks or iPads, to which I said, I don't think that will be happening. We're not KUSD, but we need to go that route. They didn't like that answer, but I told them this. I said, if you can make a justification to the people of Kenosha County that the amount of work that you do as a county supervisor would make it necessary for us to procure those items for you, by all means, make it, and we'll see what happens. But I don't think that kind of gumption on the part of some folks is necessarily there to do that. And I don't know that our citizens would find finance to be a wise use of funds for us to do that either. But it's an interesting concept.
Anyone else?
Anything else, David?
Unless there's questions.
Okay, what I'd like to, this is currently, do you have something else?
Just to point out that technologically, the ability to do this is there. We certainly do this in a number of places now. The IT steering committee benefits from the use of SharePoint. A number of other meetings that we do internally do. It's not a difficult or time-consuming process to do it. It simply comes down to how you as a group would like to embrace it and utilize it or not, and we can, you know, support however you want to consume this electronically or in paper.
Thank you. The expenditure for both the voting system as well as the camera system is currently in the budget that was presented and brought forward. Presented to the executive by the IT department and is currently in the county executive's budget, right? So I asked that the presentation be made here at this committee. Supervisor Clark was asking for that to be done, given that this committee has oversight over county board issues, county board expenditures, regardless of whose budget they're falling into. So what I would like to entertain is a motion that provides direction to the Finance and Administration Committee as to whether this committee supports or does not support.
So move.
Purchase. For which one? Support or don't support?
Support.
Moved by Vice Chairman Ekernis, seconded by Supervisor Brunig. Anyone on the question? Supervisor Overman.
It is a question. You said it's in the county executive's budget, which is this document.
Correct.
Whose budget is it actually in?
The IT department.
Okay.
Any other questions on the issue? Supervisor Holman.
Just so that you know, when you go looking for it, it's actually rolled into a couple of other different projects. So it's in two different places, I think.
It's in one place. Part of what's called Project One Kenosha Area Land Management Project, the County Clerk's Office, which is the business sponsor of both of these, rolls up to that line item. But
so if you go to look for it, it's in there.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor of recommending to the Finance Administration Committee to support the work in the County Board Chamber, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all.
Thank you, Chair.
All right, it's 7:08. We will invite Frank back to the table, reluctantly. All right, 6B at 7:08, or 6A at 7:08, report on status of Corporation Council's 2011 budget. Frank.
Our department does a lot.
I think you all have a copy of it. I went through it before the meeting tonight. The only ones I'll comment on that are off. It should be the projection on our legal fees and trial costs. I think everybody's aware of the fact that we've had an inordinate amount of outside legal counsel this year. That figure may be reduced by approximately $42,000 and $108,000, due to the fact that it may be that finance can charge that. At least finance has told me that they can charge that to social services. It was $42,000 that was incurred as a result of a request for a legal opinion for Quarles and Brady. And they also, it's my understanding, did a lot of lobbying with the state with respect to some funding for social services. That's what the opinion dealt with. And that was the reason for that. The other expenses that we have incurred, incurred about $5,300 for an arbitration. That was for a civil arbitration earlier in 2011. About $10,000 for the $10,000 for a defense of a claim that was filed with the employee trust funds that had to do with the return of certain monies that was paid to the trust fund that pertained to vacation payouts.
How much was that?
So far it's at $10,000, but I would suspect that's going to go up. We had another $23,700 that dealt with the Omnicare claim that dealt with Brookside, the RFP. That claim has been resolved, and along with that, the administrative appeal. Both of those are being dismissed due to the fact that we agreed to do a rebid or another request for proposals for 2012. Although I was served today with another appeal for the 2012 RFP, even though we haven't awarded anything yet, we haven't gotten the we've gotten the responses, but we haven't made any award. This was done, by the way, with a blind selection process that I think worked very well, but we've had some problems, and they were apparently created by people who submitted a response, but that's one that may kick in for 2012.
What do you mean by blind selection process?
In order to ensure that there was no favoritism that was granted, people submitted their bids or their proposal, and at that time we asked them to put their own alphanumeric code on there, take their name off of it, ensure that their name did not appear anywhere within the proposal, and I am the only one who knows who the people are that are scoring this thing. I found three people that I think are well qualified to make that, and they will make a recommendation. The Coral and Brady opinion I told you about, the labor with Michael Best to date is at $10,700. Kenosha versus City. Oh, that's only $1,000. What is that? Resolution? System? Are we suing the city about something else? I don't know what that was about. I'll find out for you. It's $1,700, but it may be a. Maybe for a deposition or something like that that had to do with the case involving the health department. And then the casino to date is at $4,800. So that's how that broke down. The legal fees are at, no, I'm sorry, the trial costs were already over budget on that. And again, those are attributable to filing fees, things of this sort. Also, with respect to this Omnicare thing, I want everybody to know that when I got these three people, I got three volunteers who I think are very well qualified. As part of the RFP process, I required anybody submitting an RFP to kick in $500. They did that somewhat reluctantly, and part of a few, but they did. And the county is kicking in another $1,500. We will make that $1,000 payable to each of the other people that are, it doesn't go to the person, it will go to something comparable to our Sunshine Fund at Brookside. And that's just to compensate those people. So some of that will probably also have to be done.
So these three people are non Kenosha County employees?
Absolutely. This is as blind as you can get.
Yeah.
They're all over the state.
Okay.
And nobody's going to be able to come back and say that this was tainted one way or the other, or that some favoritism was given. It just is not going to happen.
And that's this time around, or is that the way it was done last time?
2012.
Okay.
Well, that's all.
Sounds like a good idea.
Nothing else? Any questions on the budget?
The only question I have is finance thinks they can take your legal fees that you direct?
No, for Quarles and Brady.
Yeah.
This came out of a request for an opinion, I would say, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago by Social Services.
Right.
Quarles and Brady did the opinion. I was expecting a charge of a couple of grand. They wanted it updated. Then apparently there must have been some changes in the state law in terms of how they were going to be doing this funding. So this became quite an involved thing, and $42,000 is an awful lot of money for an opinion, so I'm assuming that a lot of that, and I did get the bills to go over it, but I don't have it in front of me, was due to the lobbying efforts that they participated in going up to Madison and talking with the Department of Social Services.
So do we have a budget line item in human services that they think that falls into?
I've got to ask Dave.
Was that for the income maintenance?
Yeah, I believe it was, yes.
Any other questions on Corporation Council's budget? So members are motion to see file.
I so move.
Moved by Noble, seconded by Alderman. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. 716, item 6C, discussion and possible action on updated Johnson County contracting policy.
No, it's in my
budget.
2012 Corp Council budget.
I'm sorry. Yes. 6B. Review approved proposed Corporation Council 2012 budget. I may have misspoke on the previous item. I don't recall them.
No, you said.
We can still receive it.
You said receive and file.
All right.
The 2011 budget this year was $816,000. This year, the executive adopted, or I'm sorry, the 2012 proposed budget was $808,978. Some adjustments were made. It's now down to $803,000. If you turn the page, the salary and benefits, fees are going to be finance. Legal fees are down to $40,000 and trial costs back down to $6,000. That's consistent with what was done in the past. Oftentimes we go out with outside counsel for a number of reasons, just to reiterate, if we have a conflict of interest, time constraints is another reason, or specialty items. And I have emailed, I think, both the chair and the chairman of finance about the need to, and I've also pressed this with the Menominee that, you know, we're expecting some feedback on whether or not they're going to pick up for the
term. We're going to go into a closed session to talk about
not about the Menominee.
What up?
I don't have any update. I think you've gotten the latest material.
Does that budget match the budget book? I'm just looking at your page number, and it's different than the page number, unless I'm...
Well, we have a double set of cards.
I don't understand that.
What did you want to see?
Which one did you want to see? I'm just saying, this is on 337. What do you have?
328, or...
327.
Yeah, 327.
This is 337 and 336.
What are you showing?
On county executive
what are you showing for the 2012?
I got a county board on page 328.
Yeah. Where are you seeing a page number?
Right here.
This has happened before. It's nothing.
So I just want to make sure what we're looking at in committee here is matching this book.
Well, do you see the 803501?
I'm trying to get there.
Oh.
This must be what you submit to the county exec, because we don't usually have a column that says what the county exec adjusted.
Yeah, that's where it starts.
in our book.
I think you're right, Supervisor. I think that...
You have the right numbers here, it looks like. Yeah.
Does it agree?
Yeah.
I think you'll have a column that says finance adjustments or something like that.
We don't have a column that says adjustments.
Yeah, so I'm not...
What he handed out is apparently what they give to the county executive and
correct.
Shows the adjustments, which I think I kind of like. It's nice to see what he cut out. So it does match.
So the levy matched the levy on the handout?
It's 808, 978?
No.
I'm sorry, 803-001.
I got 5-0.
Yes.
What?
My levy is 803-001.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. This shows the difference between the two. This shows yep. the county executive's cut.
I just wanted to make sure
that mine says 5-0.
Yeah, but you're not.
Oh,
page.
Oh. You've got to run a
500. Close your eyes.
Okay, I guess so. In any event, everything else on here is pretty much self-explanatory. Questions on any particular line item, I can.
Legal fees. Your is this last year was a high water year? Or?
Legal fees. Oh yeah.
So I mean, is $40,000 sufficient?
That has been the historical amount. I think that they've put in there for quite a number of years. And if a problem comes up during the year, then I call it to your attention. And there again, that's not something that I have any real direct control over. If we have, for example, on the employee trust fund issue where we had a conflict of interest, there's no way you can control what the person filing the claim is, if he's represented by counsel, will do. And just to give you an example of later on in closed session, we're going to be talking about the redistricting lawsuit. And when I get to that, if you want to remind me, I can talk to you. And that's a real good example. There's no way you can predict what the other side is going to do in terms of legal fees. And
we can talk about that when we get there. Anything else on the budget?
I think it's a bargain, Mr. Chairman. I'll move that we approve and send it to finance.
Motion made to recommend moving the budget as presented to the Corporation Counsel's Office to the Finance Administration Committee by Supervisor Elverman, seconded by Vice Chairman Eckernes. On the question, Frank, what is the time frame of your move?
I don't know. Bernie's been the one who's been.
Is it scheduled for 2012, you know?
Yes, November.
Oh, I guess I could ask the chairman of the committee.
Yeah.
November. I think for this year.
November this year?
Yes.
Yes. We toured it last week. They've got your pictures up and everything.
Oh, shucks. I'm so happy to hear that.
Report on the board floor next meeting.
Yeah. I think I gave it last week.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Those opposed?
Where I see where it's in the where I see was.
What you're doing. All right, 7:24. We are now on to 6B, discussion possible action. 6C. Jesus. 6C, discussion of possible action on updated Kenosha County contracting policy. Now, I recognize some of these agenda items are carryovers. If it is not the committee's desire to get into something in particular this evening, we can hold it over. So, in the packet is policy that has been here. So, it is your call.
I would simply offer you what was last. talked about in committee. It's basically a starting point for discussion. We talk here about the intent being to ensure that we have fairness and equal opportunity and uniformity in contracting and doing it for the purpose of having cost effectiveness and proper administration and oversight. We talk about the agreements being in writing. 1.03 is a synopsis of the responsibility of both the county board and the county executive. Essentially, the county board is the policy maker, the county executive is the one who's supposed to carry out that policy. And that includes the administrative functions, negotiating and administering the contracts. The next thing that happens, and I don't know if anything probably needs more discussion, it's this section. I just simply call it to your attention. This was discussed years ago with the committee at that time. And it was basically trying to capture on paper a protocol of who was authorized to do what with respect to particular types of contracts. One of the things that derailed this the last time it went to the county board was an attempt to say that every contract over $100,000 had to go to the county board. I don't feel that that's the case. I it was our legal opinion, and we've operated this way for quite a number of years, that unless there was some specific statutory obligation on the part of the administration to refer something to the county board for authorization in terms of awarding a contract, it was an executive function. That was clearly the leaning and the opinions of the past attorney generals who have been asked to opine on that issue. However, as a matter of practicality, there are certain things that are also contracts which do need to go to the county board. More so because of a past practice than because of a, and I'm not even sure I want to use the word past practice, but because it's good to get the involvement of the county board in on some of these things. For example, there had been construction contracts that have, there's been county board involvement in awarding those on occasion. Whether or not that's still a good policy or not is not for me to decide. Some of these things, county board approval required prior to execution by the county executive, audit contracts, bonding, claim settlements, collective bargaining by statute, employee benefit contracts, I think you may want to have some voice in. Some types of grants require that, the county board involvement. That's really a contract, even though it's a grant. The stop-loss contracts on the insurance, intergovernmental agreements is another one that goes to the board. And you can go through that. You know, I'm not going to go through each one. But barring these, it's always been our opinion that if you put money in the budget, that's authorization for the executive to follow through and carry out the intent of the county board and to award a contract, to go through a process whereby you make an award and you you look for people to make a or to respond to an RFP or make a bid or whatever, and to then make the award. We handle hundreds and hundreds of contracts every year. If they all went to the county board, I can, and at one time they did before it was the county executive, I can guarantee you, you'll be here till 2 in the morning, and there will be more gamemanship and political maneuvering, because somebody, you know, why did this social service agency get it, not this one? And I know this guy, and, you know, he's real good. You get into all of that. I'm not sure that that's a good thing. I'm not going to say it's, I'm not sure it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to be doing that
question.
So I'm not sure that this is a good way to do it, but it was the best that I could come up with. And where did I get all of these types of contracts? I just sat down and started talking to myself and thinking about all the different types of things that I've been involved in over the year, and I kind of muddled through it.
Supervisor Elderman, he's got a question.
I have a question. Frank, I agree with you that we wouldn't want the county board to handle these contracts. When we do execute a contract, there's certain provisions in each contract, and I know Mark probably knows more about this. We do a construction contract, and it's the lowest bidder, but we have add-ons, and we have this, that, and the other thing. Recently, we had one with the demolition of
Brookside.
And the committee was led to believe that we were really doing well because they allowed us to do compaction on site of the bricks. Then we read an article in the paper a couple weeks ago that it cost the county $8,000 more to do that. The committee had no idea, and I don't believe most of the county board knew that. And if it would have gone to our committee, I think we would have said, no, let's not spend the $8,000. So that's my question. When there's an addition to a contract, or it's actually costing us more, then I think possibly it should at least go to a committee or the county
board. I addressed that in your change orders. It's on page 6, in the middle of the page. I'm not sure that this is the way to do it, but this is just a proposal.
I don't think that was a change order, though.
Here's what they do all the time. We budget $100,000, and then they go out and they get bid alternates. And so if we go out and get that for $90,000, now we can do this alternate.
Well, I know what it was. I'm just saying that I do not think the board, or at least the committee, facilities, would have said, we were led to believe, honestly, that we were doing really well because they were letting us do this crushing on site, not knowing that it was actually costing us more than hauling the material away.
That's the kind of thing that you can address in here.
What page?
I thought you were talking about a change order, and I made a provision in here that you could have change orders especially if there's an unexpected condition, unforeseen condition, soil condition, things of that sort, and I put a cap on it of 15% cumulative. So you couldn't stack your change orders and you have 20 change orders for $5,000. Okay. I mean, and that was my experience in some of the construction contracts and whatnot.
This was a bid alternate, correct?
Well, if it's a bid alternate, then the way they would execute it, it's my understanding, would be with a change order.
Well, and I think maybe what Supervisor Elderman, what you're talking about, what I'd like to see is some discussion in the policy about reporting. I recognize the contract does not need to necessarily go to the county board, nor would it be a good idea to have every contract come before the county board. At the same time, if your office is signing hundreds of contracts a year, clearly the county board isn't made aware of all of them either.
Right.
So there needs to be some, because your assumption that a contract of $100,000 or more, or any value, doesn't need to come to the county board, your assumption in that statement is that every one of them, and I know as soon as I say this, it's going to be, you know, concerned by the executive that I'm talking to him, and I'm not. I'm talking just in general. Your assumption, the premise is that every contract is awarded having gone through the proper process. I'm not looking for the county board to make the approval, but certainly there has to be a check and balance for the county board to be made aware, so that if there's an issue, an oversight committee or the county board or a supervisor individually can raise a concern, and it may simply be a statement of reporting to the appropriate oversight committee.
Right, and there's the board definitely has an audit function that it can exercise, should exercise.
And that statement has to have a little bit of teeth in it. We have never brought a project in Kenosha County in my tenure over budget, because it's a very calculated, intentional way in which we go about executing our projects. We establish a budget. It's never short. We bid the base bid, which we know will be significantly within that budget, and we have these ad alternates. I do it every day. I do it every day for the municipalities we work for as well. So I understand the process. My problem is, it isn't very clearly articulated what those ad alternates are, nor do the committees necessarily have a thorough understanding and say in whether or not we accept the ad alternates. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So the language has to make clear, not only is it reporting of the contract to the proper oversight committee, but with the proper detail and backup that goes along with it. Supervisor Clark?
The budget book and the description and the scope in the community, in the capital improvements is where it's defined, and that's what gives them the authority. So
I understand.
If you're gonna have to really pay attention to these projects and try to tighten them up, because if they deviate from that, I mean, a lot of times there's looseness here that mm-hmm. gives them a lot of
absolutely
flexibility to do those things. And the tearing down of the Brookside building, I'm sure if you looked at that project last year in the budget, it can be construed loosely that that's part of the disposal.
Well,
I'm just using that.
Yeah.
You have to nail it down in the budget.
It boils down to, if the number is in the budget on that project, that defines, that is the umbrella in which the looseness of the project is defined. Because I've seen plenty of projects. I've spent most of my tenure on the Building and Grounds Committee. I would safely say that the majority of the ad alternates are the nice to haves.
Correct.
Right? It's the, you know, eight disc player in the car instead of just the standard radio. It's the sun or moon roof and whatever else. So it's some add ons, some nice to haves that maybe makes sense, maybe it doesn't. But the looseness of the budget, back to your point, is what allows then the administration or the staff to make the decision on who accepts those ad alternates. And I think there needs to be a little bit more, in your case is a good point, a little bit more oversight and involvement from the committees on that.
Mr. Chairman, I brought this up this evening. I brought it up to a couple of people prior to this for a couple of reasons. This reporting to this committee, and it wasn't just myself, it was the whole committee. I even asked the question that's on tape, was anybody under the impression that this was going to cost us more money? And the committee as a whole said no. We were led to believe, and I believe intentionally, that, and it was reported in a couple different minutes, that, hey, we've got that permission from the city to do the crushing on site. We thought we're saving money. And then to find out it was $8,000 more. So, 2 points. One is, wouldn't it be nice to have someone representing the county board auditing these contracts? And that's the position that we've discussed, to have someone representing the county board, and possibly that would have been reported to a committee that we were actually spending more money. So that's the other reason I brought this up this evening.
That may be a good point, a good reason. I don't believe we're intending to make a pass this thing tonight, but certainly should we be successful, the county board be successful in supporting the position that we're talking about that would report to the county board, we could discuss within Frank's matrix that he's got here, we could also maybe include a third column as to sending a copy of particular contracts to the county board liaison.
Correct.
What I was going to say is that in working with social services and with Brookside on this latest RFP for the Brookside Pharmaceutical Services. Those are all posted on the internet, and not only is the RFP posted, but the responses are posted. That's a nice feature to be able to, and you could conceivably set up a site or part of a site that would list all of the contracts. If you wanted to go see the Brookside Demolition contract, you could go to the Brookside Demolition contract, click on that, and it'll take you to the RFPs or the bids or the responses that came in, and you can see right then and there what came in. We got that stuff up within 2 or 3 days, I think 3 days after we got the proposals. So there's ways to do it.
You're not suggesting that takes the place of the oversight committee being made aware as an agenda item and a brief discussion on the scope of the contract?
Well, you can set it up however you want. If you want the committee to get a report on every contract or certain contracts or whatever, but by the same token, if you're a particular supervisor and you know, well, nobody's really got an interest in the Brookside crushing contract or whatever the thing was, but you want to see it,
right.
You should be able, and right. Anybody should be able to go see it.
Supervisor Noel.
Well, just kind of listening to what I've heard, and it's regarding contracting, and with regards to that dog park issue that came up out there in Randall, there's a situation where that particular location was locked in the budget book. I mean, there was actually a map of where that dog park was supposed to go. It got moved by the county executive, and he let the contract, and our position in committee was, you know, if it was moved, then we need to have it, you know, we were going through the committee process of looking at alternative sites, and then the county executive just let the contract to the moved site, and I know you came and spoke in his behalf, you did as well, Joe, but I still don't understand, hearing what I just heard tonight, if you're locked into the description that's in there, how did the county executive have the ability to move the site and let the contracts? When we probably had the most specific map ever of a contract, probably way more specific than anybody really wanted it.
I'd have to go back. I mean, I just don't recall all of.
Well, there was an actual map in the budget book of where this dog park was going to go, and we moved it 300. He moved it 300 feet.
I remember it was moved, but I don't.
300 feet, and we wanted to move it like 500 feet. Whatever.
Not only did he move it 300 feet, but he had the materials delivered so that we couldn't have a meeting beforehand. But I forgot all about that. But
no, to me, it's just kind of hearing what I did. But that particular contract, in my opinion, went against everything I'm hearing tonight.
I can find out.
Well, I don't want to find out that. I just want to get
I forgot about that.
I just want to bring it up and make it.
To that point, and you've heard me say this before during the budget hearings, I think we pick and choose when and when it will not, you know, we insert something specific into the budget and we use it to set policy way more often, or when it suits someone's particular needs. And that goes both ways. It's the administration, it's the county board.
Yeah, and that really, to me, was not a big issue. I never really got involved in the issue, but it could be a big issue, and that's what we need to address in this type of a thing, so that he knows when and when he cannot move forward.
Supervisor Clark.
I hope that maybe we put a little asterisk next to this at one of the meetings that we're going to come prepared to finish this. But we've had some good conversation here. One of the things I'm thinking about in terms of this reporting is we get a report on checks over $5,000 that goes to the finance committee, and that's put on everybody's desk. I mean, I think from a reporting standpoint, very easily, we could say we want to see contracts that are over $25,000. Pick the number. I mean, in here, the Corporation Council in this draft it says that his office needs to review and retain contracts over $100,000. When we looked at this previously, and it was $25,000, we maybe thought about bringing that to $50,000, but maybe there we consider having a reporting mechanism so you know where the, you know, what line item did it fall into, who it was awarded to, and how much.
And that's what you want. You want a report. You don't want a copy of the contract.
Right. Just a report. So
even a $25,000 contract could be 40 pages.
No, just a report. Here's sure. the and here's then, the contracts that we approved.
Then if a committee needs to take it up, the chairman can agenda that item, or a supervisor can ask for it to be agendaed, or they can go to the website.
Well, it's out there. And then I like the idea of putting certain contracts and what those need to be, but putting them out on the website so they're out there for the world to see. Or if someone's coming in next time to bid on
just
it.
So I'm clear, you're talking about a report after the contracts are awarded.
After.
Awarded, yeah.
Awarded. We're not getting into approving and doing the administration's right. job, but just right. the ability to...
You could do it the first county board meeting of every month. You could have a report of what contracts were let that month. If we're talking about hundreds of contracts a year, clearly...
I'd have to talk with Dave. He may be able to just draw a certain type of report out
yep.
of his...
Yep.
So just... I don't know if I'll be ready to hit it next time. I think you've got notes from some of the previous meetings we had.
Right.
So...
You want to focus on this one next month, then, you're saying?
I want you to pick a date.
Next month will be November, will be the 8th, I believe, November 8th. Is that an issue? And I'll defer to members of the Finance Administration Committee right
eighth.
Now.
I think, when's the budget?
Should be adopted that probably the, well, if Tuesday is the 8th, then be the first.
That Tuesday, the 8th, is the first... reading of the budget, that's the notes I have, the 7th and 8th, or 8th and 9th, that we're going to adopt
so
the budget.
So what we would do if we have
how about
a,
December then?
If we have a committee meeting, executive committee meeting, it will be a limited agenda, anything that we would need to address, and then we'll look at to address it at the December.
November 1st is our meeting.
That's the county board meeting, right. But I think the budget is the following
yeah, I
week.
Think you're right.
It's going to take me, right now I'm just swamped. You know, if they move the office.
You're moving in November.
Yeah. Well, good luck with
so what would, I'm not sure I understand your point.
Even January, I just want to pick a meeting and we get it done. Yeah.
All those boxes should still yeah. have, right?
I was going to say December, but January. December or January work better for you?
I get it done as soon as I can. If I can get it done in November, I'll let you know.
I don't think we want to do it.
We don't
want
to
do it in November.
Earliest will be December.
Okay. Well,
and if it needs to be January, it needs to be January. And to Supervisor Clark's point, this needs to be put on the agenda as if we're going to tackle, get done, and move to the county board.
Okay.
And that will set the stage right. then for going through additional policies.
There was one other thing that's not on here, which I'd like you to consider. And that is, you created what was called an administrative appeals board. I think that was in response to the some of the licensing of daycare providers. People were filing appeals, and this was a mechanism that was allowed for in statutes. We had talked about it for the last 20 years. I think for a while it was even on the books, and then it was resurrected to address this issue with the daycare providers. It was used to do an appeal on the Brookside pharmaceutical contract that I was just talking about. I don't know that it was ever intended to do for that purpose. And it's not that it couldn't be or shouldn't be, but if it is, I think that that's something that you want to take a look at. Maybe rethink possible modifications to that administrative appeals board to handle that or to handle a debarring situation where you're going to ban somebody bidding on projects due to some unethical conduct.
Well, I think we had that in place already through Carol.
I don't think there's a protocol for it, for giving notice to the party, giving them an opportunity to be heard, to call witnesses, that kind of stuff.
I see.
So that's all that I have on yet, and from what I'm getting out of you tonight, you want something to address the reporting of the contracts and the, for lack of a better word, I'll call it the modification or enhancement of the contract because of an alternate, because of the possibility of using alternate.
And quite honestly, if you're going to be reporting these contracts, Frank, I think part of the reporting is going to be base bid, alternate bids for a construction project, and that can all be part of the reporting. Set it up just like you do the bills over 5,000, where they're broken down, they get a little bit of information, enough to pique someone's curiosity if it's necessary. All right.
Okay.
Any other discussion? If not, 7:50. Time is 7:50. Items, anything new on item 6D and or E? If not, we'll just hold those over.
On this,
the cell phone, I don't have anything.
I mean, I'm on the, this cell phone thing was in response. I don't know that we can do it in some of the conversations. I was wanting to hear something.
6D is discussion and possible action on countywide cell phone ordinance. I want that on the record. Go ahead.
This was for drivers with probationary licenses, not allowing them to have a cell phone in their possession, in the vehicle, whatever. I don't know whether we can or can't do it. If you think we can do it, I'd like to look at it. If we can't, I just assume withdraw it, withdraw the discussion.
I can, we can maybe take a look at it, see what's done in other municipalities. I think some of those have gone on for appeal. I don't know how they've turned out, so I guess I'd have to do a little bit of research to answer your question.
So that's just my feeling. If it's going to sit here and we're not going to get to it, then let's kill it and not waste any time with it. Or if you think you're going to have an opportunity, I'd like to see something for drivers with probationary licenses. There's enough distractions. Right now I drive around, I just see all these people. It's just crazy. No wonder why two people were killed the other day. And I'm not speculating that someone was messing around with a cell phone, but
I was thinking about your proposal here. I was in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago, and I was walking on the street, and I was struck by the number of people that are walking on the street using a cell phone. And I took my own little survey. If that many people are using a cell phone or texting,
I just
happened
to be at an intersection the other day, controlled intersection near my house, and what prompted me to do it, I have no idea. I counted 9 vehicles in a row.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Phone in the air. Yeah. Went through the intersection.
Yeah.
So, Frank, I'm hearing Supervisor Clark ask, and I think is prudent, we want either from you a statement that you don't believe the county has the authority to restrict in this case.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm in favor of as restrictive as was mentioned, but restrict in general. Either a statement that you don't believe we can, or an understanding that we believe we have the ability to restrict, and then we're going to bring a draft resolution. Then we need to bring a draft resolution forward that we can take up on the committee floor, and if we want to move it forward, and move it forward.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative to that would be a resolution recommending state law. You know, my guess is it has to be a state law. But we could have a resolution requesting that they modify the state law.
Well, you've had municipalities. Chicago is
the best
example. You got to be hands-free. So I'm not sure why you can mandate one within that municipality, but they couldn't have said no cell phones at all. I don't know. So,
yeah,
let's do one.
Okay.
Time is 7:54. 6E, discussion of possible action on resolution regarding online publication of public notices. Again, you've got some information in here, Frank, primarily opinions relative to previous statements of publication guidelines. Doesn't appear that we've got anything before us this evening to discuss or act upon.
There is a resolution.
Yeah, there was a resolution, but I wanted to, this
publishing legal notices, whether or not putting them online would satisfy the statutory requirement. The state has says no, you can't do that. I had written for the opinion, and you got a copy, I think, of my request and the Attorney General's response. I thought the Attorney General was wrong, but again, as of me, newspapers themselves are going online. Some of them are going totally online. And the question comes up as to whether or not publishing legal notices online, say, for example, on the county website, would be not just cost-effective and save the county money, but, in fact, more efficient and would reach more people, potentially reach more people. So there's arguments that could be made for that. But in thinking about that a little bit, and even before supporting state legislation on it, a couple of things. I would go slow with that. When I got the Attorney General's opinion back, maybe even before that, I don't remember, I had talked with IAS about setting up a website that would allow that. Now, there's certain things that we publish online that you don't have to, for example, your agendas and proceedings, your annual proceedings have to be published, but we do that as a courtesy or to benefit open government, whatever you want to call it. But it isn't mandated. But there are a lot of types of legal notices where, say, for example, if I want to sue somebody and I can't find them, I can publish that legal notice, a summons and complaint, or just the summons in the paper. That's a different kind of legal notice. So there's a lot of different kinds of legal notices, and it would probably be good to maybe sit back and think about some of those, do a kind of a pilot project, phase it in. And one of the big things that I'm thinking about it a little bit more after a couple of years was perhaps the question is, do you need a gatekeeper to track this stuff? There's a good reason to go online because your publication is there forever. You know, if you want to know that I published something, that a zoning notice or something like that, it's there. But, you know, when was it put there? How are you going to prove that it was put there before the hearing and not after the hearing? So there's a lot of the mechanics that really need to be talked about. And maybe the thing to do would be to, this would be a good one for Marty and maybe even Supervisor Holman. He seems to have some knowledge of what the computers can and can't do.
Supervisor Clark.
My thought here was to save county money so we're not paying to publish our proceedings in the Kenosha News or in the labor paper as an initial first step.
Right.
And I think that's what your opinion request went to, and you've taken it somewhat of a step further. And at the very least, I would like to have a resolution when the county board is urging the state legislature and the governor to address this issue, to take a look at the technology that's out there as it relates to the county notice requirements. And I'm going to just call it publishing the things that we are required to publish, but as far as our proceedings and that go, if there are other areas that you can make reference that in addition to this, they should consider bing, bing, and bing, that's fine, let's do that. But I think when I saw your opinion previously and all the statistics that were there, it's crazy that we have a paper that has such limited distribution, has nowhere near the distribution, and it meets the requirement, and it has no tie to the fact that there are more households, people walking around with their telephones, that can go out and look at those notices.
If you want, I can draw something up for the next
one. So that's what I would like, whether your schedule permits. I just say maybe by January we...
Okay.
I know we're busy, but I just would like to close the book on some of that. Okay. And it's something we could also send to the Wisconsin County Association.
Okay.
Anything further? All right, 8 o'clock. Item 7A, discussion regarding county budget process. Again, if we're going to hold this on the agenda, I trust we're going to want to do that after we...
Yes, there's no way we're going to get through something like this. It was something that put out to the administration. I mean, I think it's something that you look at. It's a whole different approach to budgeting. And it'd be obviously be nice to take a position. The budget is the county executive's budget, but...
Well, generally speaking, the reason it remains on this agenda is because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of promise with the administration to look at something different here. So if it is going to be, you know, I think part of our supervisor clerk's hope, and when you brought it up with me, is that the administration might take an interest in looking at this process. It doesn't appear that they're inclined to do that. So it will be either directed by the county board through this committee, or you continue as you are.
Once again, we have several items out there, you know, contracting. If we're going to leave it on here, let's put a star next to it on a certain date and target it for kind of an in-depth review and discussion, where we can just kind of go through it and at least talk about what it is and expose the issue and who's doing it.
I'm comfortable keeping them here so we don't lose track of them.
Okay.
802 7B, discussion of possible action regarding job description for taxpayer advocate position within the county board budget. I could have easily changed your wording on that. I did not. From my standpoint, we'll talk about the county board budget next, 2012 budget, make a recommendation to move that on to the Finance Administration Committee, recognizing that currently a county board position beyond county supervisors is not in the administration's budget. I intend to lobby the Finance and Administration Committee to keep it. I would suspect it's somewhat premature at this point in time, to assume you have the votes to try to establish a description of this position right now. If the funding is approved within the budget, I think you take this up at that point, establish a position, post it, and fill it. Discussion was that you probably wouldn't fill that position until after the 2012 election either way. So you have time to... We certainly would have time to draft that language for the position at that point in time.
You think it...
Committee has any different thought? Let me know, Supervisor Gold.
I don't... I'm okay with that, but I wonder if you'd have less people supporting it, or you might have more people supporting it if they knew exactly what the position was going
to
be.
Well, you certainly, to those who are opposed to the concept, you give them the absolute perfect argument, which they will make all day and every day until it's either defeated or passed, which is, how on earth can I support a position that you don't know what it is? I think we all know very clearly the intent of the position, and it's a matter of drafting the language that gives you the job description and allows you to fill it. It isn't an issue for me. It's easy for me to say because I support it. But your point is certainly well taken.
Well, you had multiple job descriptions for different counties, right?
Yeah.
So basically, that would be the framework of the job description.
I mean, if that's what...
My intention would be to outline the duties of the position to the Finance and Administration Committee.
At the Finance.
At the Finance hearings, okay. Yes.
That's what I would...
I think that would be better.
I just saw the outlines that I saw that Joe had, or some of the information from other counties. would be adequate for some people.
Yeah, I can grab all that.
Yeah, and I'll speak to it a little bit more specifically when we get to the budget. Anyone else on the issue of 7B? If not, at 8:05, 7C, review and approve proposed county board 2012 budget. It is obviously pretty straightforward. It reflects a reduction in the county board size to 23 come April. It also reflects the elimination of health insurance for county supervisors again following the election in 2012. All of the other cuts that we discussed prior at our last meeting to make a recommendation to the executive are here. Those were permanent cuts that were put in place in 2010, which essentially reduced mileage and travel. Some staff development was cut, and I believe we reduced the chairman's promotional expense. I don't have those in the sheet in front of me. One of the things that I've noticed now with the WCA and all of the per diem requests coming through for the WCA is we need to maybe find some way to tighten up. You know, we had an awful lot of people going up on their own to this thing. We did have a few of them carpooled, which certainly made sense, but there's some other ways we can cut some numbers. It seems silly to me that you're going to have everybody taking their own vehicle. I know the vice chairman went up on his own, but I think you had a conflict that required you to do it. But clearly there were some others who couldn't. So I'm certainly going to, at least if there's more during my tenure, urge and require to some extent as best I can that we look to conserve some expenses that way. But otherwise, you know, there is obviously not much here in the county board budget. I can take the same, make the same statement that every other person does who presents their budget, and that is the salaries come from the administration.
Not.
Now, with respect to the county board position, you know, I think it's important to understand that we're talking about reinstating a position that had been in the county board budget since the county executive form of government was brought forward. So we're not, this isn't a new concept. I think it was a lack of use on the county board's part, maybe a lack of direction on the county board, or maybe a lack of an engaged county board over the years that allowed the position to be cut to a halftime and then ultimately eliminated altogether. And I don't recall if that position had been filled. I think it went to halftime and then wasn't filled one way or the other before it was ultimately eliminated. So I had a conversation with the county executive last week, and you know, regardless of how this position was rolled out and initially discussed and then certainly written about in the paper, yeah, we touched on it a little bit this evening as well, where it is a certain, there is a check and balance. You've heard me say before that if you're going to have a county board chairman who comes into the position and a county board who's going to have an agenda and a direction and a vision, it's conceivable and should be expected that that agenda, vision, and direction is going to be at odds from time to time with the administration. So I don't think it's a far-fetched concept. At the same time, it isn't the main driver behind what I think this position can do and will do for the county board. We're talking about cutting the size of the county board down to 23. We hear over and over again that it's a part-time position. I can tell you without question, and I've got between now and next Wednesday four 2-plus-hour meetings on my calendar with the county executive, the administration, and various groups throughout Kenosha County. I want to talk about the golf proposal that's coming forward, the study that's been done. We met today and talked about the health insurance package that's part of the 2012 budget. We started that at 4:30, and I came downstairs here to start this meeting. So my point is, I think I am trying to instill, and other chairmen have done it, certainly there's chairmen in this room who have done it, and I think, you know, without question, Supervisor Clark Gelberman and Noble, all three of you, you know, we have had chairmen in the past who there isn't much direction or vision. It really is seems to be their time to take the role and take the position. They get it, and, you know, we kind of go through the motions. I'd like the legislative branch to become more of a legislative body all the time. And that isn't say you're making up and creating legislation, but it certainly gives you, if you come into it, as I did and certainly others in the room have done, with a direction for county government, you're going to be active. And if you're active, I think this county board and certainly the county board chairman is going to need some help. I had one other thought and now I've lost it. But. So I'm going to urge the committee, as I said, to support the position, put it back in the budget, and 2012 obviously to be a half-funded position for half a year. Commitment needs to be for a full fund and that continue going forward. So, on the issue of the budget.
The question I have is there was some discussion about the retirement contributions and whether they could do that or not do that. The budget reflects that. What's the, has anything happened on that? Was there some sort of request for clarification on that? Did you hear from the...
I requested of Corporation Council clarification. I continue to believe this was very clearly intended to affect the county board supervisors. That was the direction that was given. That was the mission that was established. And there is apparently, in Corporation Council's response to me, enough, in his opinion, to support the move. Supervisors only, not the other elected officials. I don't at all agree with Frank's opinion, but it is what it is. So, you know, we started that 2 months ago.
Yeah, and if I could just address that, I certainly don't know of anything in terms of targeting the county board for that, nor would I have participated in along that line. I was asked, as I indicated, first of all, for an opinion regarding the elected officials at the county board, statutory and constitutional officers, register of deeds, sheriff, DA, county executive, the clerks of the court, county clerk. We came up with an opinion basically that said that for those particular positions, you could not increase or decrease compensation, which included not just wages, but benefits. There seems to be, I think, although I did get a call today from Polk County or something like that, who was asking about it. I don't know where they got my opinion, but in any event, I am very confident in that one in terms of the legal opinion and the underlying reasoning that supports that. I'm also confident with respect to the one regarding the county board. I did talk with the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office advised me that they would not opine on anything that is currently in court, a matter of litigation. And Act 10 is in court, and this was part of Act 10. So for
it's
that,
a big umbrella.
Yes, that's right.
That's a big umbrella now.
Travelers insurance rate. I did have a conversation with people from the AG's office. And while they would not say definitively one way or the other, I was left with the impression, take it for whatever it's worth, that there was agreement with the opinion that I had rendered. The opinion for the county board people was based on a different statute. And I believe that there is not just a legal rationale, which is brought out in the statute that says that with respect to county board supervisors and judges, you cannot increase their
wages during their term. Okay. And it doesn't say you can't decrease wages or benefits. And if you stop to think about it, it makes sense. It makes sense for this reason. With respect to the other constitutional officers, you set their salary. They don't. My recollection is that there was a sheriff who got elected. And I've been looking for this AG opinion. I can't find it. But my recollection is that I think it was a sheriff, got elected. He was the wrong guy. So what happened with the county board? He said, oh, yeah, we set the salary at $20,000 a year, but let's knock that down to $1 a year. He said, that's not fair. And then that statute got changed, and that's what's there. County board supervisors, you set your own salary. So the law says you can't increase it. But by God, if you guys are really
service-minded and look good and when it comes to election time, you want to decrease it,
there's nothing that precludes you from decreasing.
Right.
And in fact, that statute, that particular statute in Chapter 66, now has a provision in there that allows for a protocol for a county board supervisor to turn his money back. It used to be, I can remember Supervisor Amendola years ago, one of the first people said, I'm not taking that raise. Yeah, now there's a protocol that allows him to do that. And I've always thought, and you're the CPA, but I always thought, yeah, it ought to be that if the supervisor wants to do that, let him do it, but give him the money and let him write a check back, and then doesn't he get to take that as a tax deduction? At least he gets some of it back in terms of a deduction.
Right.
So that was my rationale for it. That's what the response was from the Attorney General's office. And if I'm wrong at some point, courts say I'm wrong, AG says I'm wrong because now you can render an opinion, you get your money back.
So then one final question. The other elected officials, this doesn't affect them, but they can decide to contribute like the rest of all the county employees.
Yes, there's no protocol in the statute like there is for the county board people, but I don't know why they put that in there. If an elected official wants to write a check to the county board as a donation, there's nothing to stop.
So an elected official, say a clerk, could decide that they want to contribute their 5.4% to their retirement and not have the county pay for it?
They could.
Okay, just wanted to know that.
I would do it in a way. My recommendation would be that they get the money and then they write a check, simply for that reason. That they're entitled to. Why shouldn't they at least be able to get the tax deduction for it?
Well, we have what offices come up next year? So that all that compensation is going to have to be addressed. Those salary compensation will have to be.
When their term is up, then they contribute.
That's automatic.
Yes,
that's automatic. Right.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Never mind.
That's my understanding on that.
That's your opinion. Now. Huh? That's your opinion.
That's my opinion. And you better like it. And you could also, you don't have to contribute money. You can contribute some, objects. You donate some. When I was town board chairman, I encouraged people to donate. We had a lot of rocks. We wanted to build a rock wall. Give you the value of the rocks.
Supervisor Over. You were one term, weren't you?
No, I was three terms. Always unopposed.
I have a question. The question of county board supervisors and other elected officials coming to you, where did that come from?
Finance. And not from Dave. I believe it was from, if I remember correctly, it was from payroll.
So they were just trying to figure out what they had to do with payroll?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, there's no way I would have. I'd have to be out of my mind. I wouldn't target the board with an opinion.
No, nobody ever does that. No.
No, I wasn't.
I'd like to. I want to do it.
That wasn't. Ever does that wasn't the way my question was directed. I thought possibly it came from somewhere else.
No, I can tell you that it didn't even come from Dave.
Nope. Just cooked up in payroll all by themselves.
Yep. Uh-huh.
That payroll department is on the ball.
Yes, they are. Supervisor Noel. I mean, and why would you ask the question when it's clear that Act 10 says elected officials, you can't address them until their term ends? So
this is so.
That's why it wouldn't have
been. Now, there may have also been some involvement from personnel that I don't remember. They could have been in the room at the same time on the phone. I don't know.
In fear for their jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Noel.
Well, I think Joe started to mention this, but why is there $11,000 in the budget for retirement if we're paying our own share? Or is that the county's?
The employer, previously they paid the employer and the employee.
So that's the employer's share?
That's the difference, right.
Okay.
But it was like,
I don't think it's 5.8 either. I think it's 6.2 or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
It was like $37 or something like that. I remember seeing that. Wasn't a lot of money.
Well, and quite honestly, the way I became aware that the county board was going to contribute just ahead of the letter that went out was I was bringing the discussion forward because I thought it was wise for the county board and other elected officials to voluntarily, county board in particular, voluntarily get on board before the end of our term. And no sooner did I ask the question than I get the letter that said, you are.
I mean, only you. What I'm telling you is only what I know and what my.
No, I understand that. I'm not.
It was pretty quick, though.
Motion to approve the budget.
Second.
Motion by Clark, seconded by Vice Chairman Eckernes. Although, any further discussion? And the motion is to recommend to the Finance Administration Committee the budget as presented by the administration.
What about the person? You can address that separately?
Yeah. I think you guys say.
Well, that has previously been recommended by this committee.
Oh, okay.
So my presentation will in fact reiterate that. Okay. Anyone on the question? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. 7D we took previously. That leaves us item 8, economic. Should have been economic development update at 8:22. I do not have an update today, and I will be in touch with Mr. Battle this week. We're getting together actually, and I will schedule something for an upcoming meeting.
Just as part of that economic development update, this $500,000 is being borrowed. Are we aware of that in this budget? I haven't reviewed it yet, but they're borrowing $500,000 to fund this?
To replenish it.
To replenish it.
Yeah, so are they borrowing it?
Yes.
It's a capital expenditure.
It will be, my understanding is that the mechanism is, yes, it will be a borrowing to replenish it. And the point there is replenish, and it will only be done if the funds are spent down or with the approval and or with the approval of the Finance and Administration Committee and the County Board?
That's in the resolution?
And the County Board? Yeah, supposedly it's in the resolution.
Okay.
And the argument that I was presented with, but first of all, I support, I'm on the fence on the, on borrowing to do it, of course. I support the number. I thought the 250 was a little bit light. I support the number at $500,000. The questions that may arise, which are, how do you allocate another $500,000 when you haven't spent the first million? We talked last time we were together that it is conceivable by the end of the year, first part of next year, we could spend that down in a hurry. Or we could certainly carry that over into a significant portion of 2012. What this also will do is allow us to build that fund to $1.5 million if in fact there's an opportunity that requires and the board can support at that level as well. What you've got to be able to support and get your mind around is the borrowing to make that happen. Anything else on economic update? All right, at 8:24, item 9, A and B are both updates from Corporation Counsel on claims with the City of Kenosha, between Kenosha County and the City of Kenosha. So I will entertain a motion to go into closed session.
Second.
Closed session moved by Supervisor Clark, seconded by Supervisor Noble. All those in favor signify by
roll call.
I'm sorry, that's right, roll call.
I want to include this.
Youth and Governance member Rindy's got to leave. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your float building.
Thank you.
Take care. Going to closed session. Supervisor.
Aye.
Vice Chairman.
Aye.
Supervisor Clark. Aye. Supervisor Noble.
Aye.
Supervisor.
Aye.
Aye.
Supervisor Rooting votes aye. And the chair votes aye. In the room then is the committee, Corporation Council, and staff, and Supervisor Underhill, Supervisor Gents, Supervisor Kubicki.
Okay, I.
Hold on.